sir.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for March Madness in the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Shady in the temper, damn. Blinding your eyes with a spider.
Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobson, with you here on Sports Radio 950 KJR as we roll into the 9 o'clock hour and we launch a series, or part number three to our series, Are We Acting Appropriately? Here in Seattle to certain storylines. We reach out to people that have experienced these things before to find out if our reaction to these stories are on point, if we're underreacting, if we're overreacting. And today we're going to check in with Tim Allen, who is a longtime radio veteran, talk show radio veteran out of Milwaukee, 1250 AM The Fan, and he joins us here on Chuck and Buck. Tim, good to have you.
Morning, boys.
Yeah, great to talk with you. We're here to talk about football with you and the Green Bay Packers, but I noticed on your Twitter that you're a big Brewers fan. We also noticed that you got Daniel Vogelback hitting cleanup in your starting lineup for the Brewers. So it didn't catch on here, even though I tried, but our feeling, Tim, and you can take this and see if you can make it run in Wisconsin. Everybody that's built like Vogelback is either nicknamed Spanky or Pudge. So we started calling him Spudge. We combined the two.
Well, we're used to bigger boys in Milwaukee, yeah, big beer drinking, Rob Deers of the world, and Prince Fielder, obviously, and now Vogelback. He kind of caught on here, guys. And
yeah.
You know, and I think just real quick, it's a low risk. It's $1.5 million for Milwaukee. And, you know, I think it might have been a little bit of a gamble from Matt Arnold, the new GM, along with Stearns, the president, that maybe the DH would be in play here in the NL. And that, as of yet, has not happened. So I'm kind of wondering how much playing time he's going to get at first.
Well, I'll tell you this. Don't be surprised if at some point, sixth inning, you know, 84th game of the year, that he's not sliding down that slide after a home run.
I could see it.
Tim Allen is with us. We're going to talk Green Bay Packers. And, Tim, I put together this little series just kind of reaching out to different people that have experienced similar things that we're experiencing, and they've seen it from beginning to end. And we have a Russell Wilson situation here in Seattle where, for the first time in his career, he's really squeaking. And there's some trade talk that is surrounding him, and we want to try to figure out what's real and what's not real. You've been through this, not just with Brett Favre, but a little bit with Aaron Rodgers as well. And I would just ask you, try to discern for us the difference between smoke and fire when it comes to these quarterback trade stories and unhappy quarterback stories that that exist.
Yeah, it's a concerning situation when you've got a franchise quarterback, and I've always, and obviously, Russell played the year here for the Badgers, but I've always wondered why once you don't get your franchise quarterback, you don't make them happy, because I've noticed Russell Wilson from afar, guys. And he's always in the game. His game-by-game logs may not indicate that, boy, he's this stellar quarterback, but he is. He is. And you know, you look up and Seahawks getting manhandled a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like, well, they're only a score down here. He finds a way to keep them in the game. It's funny, having the same conversations with Aaron Rodgers. You get a franchise guy. Yes, there are the Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer kind of examples here, but don't you need, isn't it mandatory to have a franchise quarterback to win the Super Bowl these days? And once you've got him, I think you sit pat with that. You make the dude happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm with you that you want to keep the guy happy, but then there also comes a point when you have to figure out what you're going to do as an organization when that guy is gone. I mean, for example, the Aaron Rodgers thing now, they end up drafting a quarterback because they don't know how long Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and we all know that upsets the current franchise quarterback. Case in point, Aaron Rodgers when he was drafted, that upset Brett Favre. I'm just wondering, at what point is it, okay, we've been trying to make you happy. You know, it seems like the Seahawks are trying to make Russell Wilson happy. I mean, I don't know what else would make him more happy other than just being one of the most winning quarterbacks in your first decade of playing. I mean, he's a big part of that, but they're doing that as an organization as well. I guess I'm just wondering how much of it, when all of a sudden you saw it with Brett Favre, and he had this guy, Aaron Rodgers, sitting behind him, he was a little unhappy at first, but it ended up turning into a big deal. Like, is that something that we should worry about with the first time Russell Wilson gets squeaky, that, oh, this could turn into that?
Maybe. And we saw it as a circus when, yeah, you know, Favre and Rodgers' dilemma, if you will, came into play. But I certainly understand. You have to make arrangements and plans for the future as well. Rodgers came out and said he wasn't particularly pleased with the Jordan Love draft choice and trading up to get him. Now, I applaud any organization that has their sights set on their guy and they think that is the next franchise guy. But maybe, Chuck, Buck, it comes down to communication and what kind of relationship that these quarterbacks have with the front office and with the organization. I mean, Can't we sit down and discuss things a little bit, or is that too divisive in today's America? We can't just sit down and say, hey, here's the deal, Russ. We know that you're our guy, but at some point you're not going to be. You know that. I know that. God knows that. Everybody knows that. So what might be your suggestions? And I'm not saying that, you know, he makes the decisions here. I'm just saying work with him, and maybe you can work in harmony together as you make the transition. Look, Rodgers has, you know, 2 years left on his deal, and, you know, he's 36 years old. Unless your name is Tom Brady, you don't play, you know, for another 5, 6, 7 years. And so at some point, you know, you're going to have to make the transition. There has to be a tipping point. And I just wonder if there's as much communication going on as there should be. And I, you know, it doesn't have to always be hardball. And, you know, listen, I'm not soft in my age range. I can be conceived as a Richard easily, and have been. But my goodness, can't we communicate? Can't we just sit down and talk and throw your wares on the table? Russ, throw your wares on the table and see what we can come up with.
Local talk show legend. I'm going to call you a legend. Tim Allen, there in Milwaukee, joining us in our Are We Acting Appropriately series. Harken back to the Favre situation. You know, I'm sure that you there locally, even more so than guys that were watching it from afar, were convinced that Brett Favre would never wear another uniform other than the Green Bay Packers uniform. And then there were those couple of years of noise, and then it suddenly became, we can't tolerate it. We got to let him go. At what point did it reach for you, Tim, where you knew that this isn't just smoke? We know Brett Favre doesn't want to be here, and we're going to have to come to grips with the fact that he's not going to be a Packer forever.
Yeah, there was a meeting, guys, after one of the I might retire, maybe I won't retire, maybe I will retire sort of, I won't say rhetoric, but some of the comments that Favre was throwing out there. And, you know, there was a side of this that sort of held the organization hostage. And it's like, hey, man, I'm Brett Favre. What are you going to do about it? I mean, you're going to go with a young dude? We have a heritage here in Green Bay that we're always going to compete at the highest level. But there was a meeting between, you know, the president, the GM, and the head coach. And whatever happened in that meeting, and we still don't know exactly how roughshod it got in there, but it really appeared to come unglued in there. And when the three amigos came out of that meeting and addressed the media, it seemed like they were out of sorts a little bit. It seemed like they had come to, you know, the brick wall here. And some tough decisions and voices probably were raised, if not, you know, some furniture being moved around the office. That's when we knew, and then it just snowballed from there, guys. It got a little bit worse where he was like, I want to go to Minnesota. Yeah. Well, who in the right mind is going to trade Brett Favre inside the division? That was just out of line. So, man, it got ugly after that final meeting, and probably about the fourth time Favre threatened retirement.
So if using that as the backdrop and then contending with what you're going through right now in current day with Aaron Rodgers, let's say on the alarm scale, 10 is he's in a Vikings uniform, and 1 is, all right, that's just Aaron Rodgers trying to get the team's attention so he can get some another great wide receiver. I mean, where on the alarm scale does a Packer fan, having experienced Favre before, put the Aaron Rodgers situation as it currently exists?
That's a great question, because it does maybe relate over to you guys and how the reaction there with Russell Wilson is. And I would say, based on the experience here and based on our knowledge of Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you know, every superstar quarterback, they've got a tremendous ego. And I don't mean that in a negative way. They just do, and that's part of their DNA, and that's what makes them great. But I would say I'm sitting at, you know, the sixth range, that unless there is a reconstruct of that contract, you may see Aaron Rodgers in another uniform. I mean, at some, you move up in the first round to take your guy, and now he's got 2 years left on his deal. Unless there is a reconstruction of that contract, like, say, within the next half a year, I think the alarm bells go up maybe a couple of ticks more, maybe to 7 or 8, because then we see the writings on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, wow, 6. I think here we're about, you know, 2, maybe not even 2. We might be number 1, but that's kind of the idea behind this little series that we launched, Tim, is trying to figure out the warning signs so we can recognize it if it starts getting serious. And I think you've done a nice job of illustrating that for us.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, because it's a organizational favorite. It's a fan favorite. He's done good on and off the field, both these guys, both Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. And it's just, you know, every organization with that guy is going to have to address this. I mean, you know, who'd have thought, you know, Montana's going to play in another uniform? Namath. I mean, we can go on and on. There's some quarterbacks that we just never could. Tom Brady never could envision them in another uniform. It's the reality these days. It certainly is.
Well, we never could have pictured Vogelbach in another uniform.
In talking with him, In talking with him late last year, man, I think he's a great dude, and you know, we like that sort of special type player. I won't say special needs, but I will say just that special player that, you know, just provides a little something different. We kind of like that.
Spudge. Go with it. Spudge. Yeah. All right. Hey, Tim, thank you very much, man. We appreciate it. Great stuff today.
Anytime. Stay in touch, boys.
All right. There he is. Tim Allen from 1050 AM, The Fan, helping us out with our Are We Acting Appropriately series, giving us an idea of how worried we should be or shouldn't be about the Russell Wilson trade talk that's going on. Coming up next, we mock Sports Radio 950 KJR.